Hey, Texas bow hunters, did you know there's a ranch designed specifically for you? Located just outside of Dehannes in South Texas, Boaz Man's Quattro B Ranch allows you to test your skills with do-it-yourself bow hunting for trophy whitetail, black buck, audad, fallow, axis deer, hogs, and others. And after a day in the field, relax in the state-of-the-art lodge equipped with a kitchen, shower, fireplaces, satellite, flat-screen TVs, pool table, barbecue pits, and more. Call 210-827-0681 or visit BoazManBowHunting.com to book your hunt today. That's BoazManBowHunting.com. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms is Texas tried and true, producing the Lone Star State's finest sod grass for commercial, residential, and wholesale customers for 46 years. They'll even deliver anywhere in Texas. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms also specializes in hydro seeding, irrigation, and landscape. Call 866-541-8873 or visit BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com, and you'll notice they also offer awesome South Texas dove hunting over their Frio County Turfgrass Farm. It's a dove magnet, baby, so go to BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com today. Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers has you covered. From our four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion and to fit every need. Stop by one of our three South Texas locations. Call Affordable Trailers on Northwest Loop 410 in North San Antonio at 210-699-6000 or Affordable Trailers on Highway 87 East in South San Antonio at 210-648-2700. Then there's our new Big Tex Trailer location on I-35 in Buda. Call 512-295-4292 or visit us at www.BigTexTrailerWorld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. With over $250,000 in prize money, the Southern National Archery Festival is taking the outdoor industry by storm. Taking place September 2nd through 5th at the Travis County Expo Center in Austin, it's 4 full days of competition, entertainment, and shooting. Bring the whole family as kids 16 and under register and shoot for free. Featuring guest appearances by Bone Collectors, Travis, T-Bone Turner, and Nick Munt. Music from Asleep at the Wheel and Earl Campbell's free tailgate party. You don't want to miss the Super Bowl of Archery. Visit SouthernNationalArcheryFestival.com today.
I've got this friend, he's a lawyer in Dallas, and his folks grow potatoes out Panhandle way. He talks of Bob Wills and Playboys and turkey. Off come his wingtips and boots take their place. He likes the sound of a western swing bass run. He likes the feel that it puts in his bones. Sometimes he wonders how he ever got here. Think he's trying to get home. Yeah, I like the sound of a
all right, a little Max Stalling getting things kicked off for us this morning on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming you to the most entertaining, educational, and conservation-minded outdoor programming the great state of Texas has to offer. And man, oh man, it's been a great week. Temperatures dropped into the 80s for a day or two and gave us a little glimpse of fall, which means one thing: hunting season is almost here. Actually, it kicks off Wednesday with the North and Central Zone dove openers. If you haven't purchased your hunting license, now is the time to do so. We've got a great show lined up for you this morning. Y'all know I am passionate about getting kids involved in the outdoors, and the Mark Cunningham Foundation is taking it a step further by taking kids suffering from cancer on some pretty amazing hunting trips this fall. So we are going to visit with the foundation CEO and president, Dyron Bynum, coming up here momentarily. The Mark Cunningham Foundation is a relatively new nonprofit, and they could sure use some help finding kids that deserve to go on these hunts. Then we'll open up the stomach of a white-tailed deer with wildlife nutritionist and deer researcher Dave Hewitt of the Caesar Kleberg Wildlife Research Institute. You may not examine the contents of each deer you harvest, but Dave will tell us why we should. Heck, it may even make you a better hunter. Then Lake Texoma striper guide John Brett will drop by to clue us in on why Texoma is the premier striper fishery, not only in Texas, not only in the U.S., but in the world. Lots of cool stuff to learn about striped bass, and there isn't a better teacher out there than John. He's been chasing stripers for over 40 years, so we're looking forward to talking with him. Also, a reminder that Rusty Greer, Texas Ranger Hall of Famer, and Elite Series Pro Kelly Jordan are ready to judge your deer blind photos. Just submit them to me. Send them to CableWaco@yahoo.com. We've got three great prize packages that my buddy Rob over at Southern Deer Stands has put together. I know that the grand prize features 40 bags of shelled deer corn, among other things. And what hunter couldn't use that with deer season fast approaching? Lots of other fabulous prizes. We've got three prize packages. You can check them out at deerblindcontest.com. It's the first annual Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind Contest. Just send me the picture of your deer blind, and we'll have our celebrity judging panel take a look at them. Well, now that we have all that taken care of, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll visit with Dyron Bynum, the president and CEO of the Mark Cunningham Foundation, dedicated to taking kids suffering from cancer into the outdoors. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. She leaned her ear against the shotgun shell. Dark was the night, cold was the ground. I could barely make out the song of the ghost repeater singing hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Prusky's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Lehman H Feeders has been making the highest quality feeder for 45 years, and it takes 45 years to get 45 years of experience. Manufactured in Texas, we offer feeders for deer, quail, fish, pets, and livestock, and even songbirds. Some of our feeders are still operating in the field after 40 years of use. Makers of the trusted Blind Buddy and Blind Buddy Jr., our feeders are the most durable and user-friendly on the market. Visit www.lehmanhfeeders.com because life's too short to buy a cheap feeder. That's lehmanhfeeders.com.
Howdy, Texas hunters. Texans have deep-rooted traditions that kick off every hunting season, whether you're planning a work day at the lease or getting the party list together for opening weekend of dove season. It's all part of the annual tradition. I want to tell you about a company that's becoming a part of my annual tradition, and that's GameGuard. GameGuard's been family-owned and operated in Texas since 2003 and is quickly becoming the first choice in apparel for Texas hunters. Dove season is fast approaching, and with the summer that we're having, the GameGuard vent-back shirt is a must to stay cool. And oh, don't forget to ice down your favorite beverage in the GameGuard cooler bag. GameGuard Camouflage is committed to quality and dedicated to their loyal customers and would love to be a part of your family tradition. GameGuard can be found in many fine retailers or on the web at GameGuard.net. And by the way, thanks for supporting a Texas-based company.
Hey, Ticketheads. Wes Lundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas' premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail Hunt, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and Pronghorn Antelope Hunt. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118 or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. Featuring top-notch accommodations with 150 to 220 class bucks harvested annually, Star S Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
Every time I feel your skin, makes me feel like I'm a brand new man. You make my blood flow like the white waters on the Rio Grande. On the Rio Grande.
One of my favorite little-known Texas artists, Brandon Key, bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. Rio Grande, the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, and I am thrilled about our first guest this morning, Dyron Bynum. He's the president and CEO of the Mark Cunningham Foundation, and they have a mission to do something very cool for a lot of our youngsters suffering from cancer. Dyron, welcome to the show.
My pleasure.
Well, it's always nice to talk to good people that are doing great things in our outdoor industry. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little background about the Mark Cunningham Foundation.
Mark Cunningham was a friend of mine and the other board members who are friends and family of Mark's. And Mark suffered from Ewing sarcoma cancer as a child all the way into early adulthood and passed away in 2006. And he was just a heck of a good dude. I mean, he set the precedent for, you know, a guy who was always in pain, but you'd never know it. He always had a smile. He had a great attitude. He loved the outdoors. His favorite thing to be out hunting, fishing, just taking in, you know, the fresh air. So it was an inspiration for us to, when he passed, to kind of, you know, give his name a legacy and kind of inspired us to want to do something above and beyond. So we started the Mark Cunningham Foundation, which is a 501c3 charity. We're nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early days, we raised money and we gave money away for cancer research. We bought art supplies. We sent kids to Camp Esperanza, which is a volunteer youth camp for children with cancer. And then this past year, we kind of changed gears because it felt like we were raising money just to give money away. And we're all hunters, and we thought it would be good to put a new spin on things. And so now we outfit, broker, and pay for hunts for children who have cancer. And they can be, you know, in between treatments. You know, it kind of correlates. The hunt always correlates with how they're doing at the time and that sort of thing. But that's what we do, and it was easy for us to wrap our minds around that because we were all hunters and not necessarily, you know, fundraisers.
Okay. Dyron, tell us about some of the events and fundraisers that you guys have going on to help raise the funds to take these kiddos on these fabulous outdoor experiences.
Right now, we're getting ready to kick off a raffle for a new Matthew Z7, and we're putting together some other items for the raffle, and that ought to hit the ground in the next week to 10 days. We put on a couple sporting clay shoots at Elm Fork. That was a hit. And, you know, right now our drive is marketing the website. We've got a lot of hunts. We've got hunts we haven't posted on the website yet. But what we need is we need some kids to find the website. So we're really trying to get the word out, because right now we've got more hunts than we do kids to take hunting.
Well, that's a good problem to have, you know. At least we have the hunts already taken care of. Now we just got to find the kiddos. Well, how can we get involved, you know, other than buying a raffle ticket for the Z7, which is a fabulous bow, by the way. But for our listeners out there, how can they get involved? You know, maybe they want to contribute time, energy, or money. You know, how can they do so?
Anyone who had an idea about how to put us in touch with the kids, we're looking for contacts at youth oncology, doctor offices, any kind of children camps, you know, that are based around, you know, cancer treatment, any outfit that kind of gives the kid a break from they go through so much pain in the treatment. And so our main goal taking them hunting is that while they're on our watch, that they have a good time and that, you know, they forget the trouble that they're in. That's our number one focus. So the best way to get involved is just, we're always open to suggestions. We're fairly new. You know, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep on and fight the good fight, but we're just looking for ways to find kids who are either, you know, in the middle of treatment, who are diagnosed with cancer and enjoy the outdoors and want to go out and go hunt on our dime.
That is a breath of fresh air. You know, I ask how we can get involved, and really, you guys, you don't say, hey, send your money here. No, your approach is send your kids here. You know, we'll take care of the rest. I've got to tell you, I think y'all are onto something special here, and the approach you're taking is very refreshing.
Appreciate that.
Well, Dyron, I know that the Mark Cunningham Foundation is very new. having been around for only a couple of years now, but what has been the most rewarding hunting trip that you've taken one of these terminally ill kids on so far?
That day has yet to come. Okay. So, I mean, we are chomping at the bit. Very, very anxious to get out and do it. I suspect that they'll all be special in their own way. We're entering our first season having, you know, changed the directive of raising money to and given to treatment facilities to take in the children hunting.
I got you. So this will be the first season of making memories, okay?
So coming into our first hunting season, we're ready to go. We haven't yet taken a kid on a hunt, but hopefully I'll talk to you this time next year and I will have taken 100.
Right on, man.
It'll be exhilarating, and we're fired up to help someone who's in pain, is give them an opportunity to realize a dream or, you know, just get a break. Will be refreshing for us. It's all the payment we need.
Well, buddy, you're going to have to send me some pictures for my website. You know, I can't wait to see the smiling faces on these kiddos as a result of what y'all are doing at the Mark Cunningham Foundation, getting them into the outdoors and taking their mind off of their sickness, even if only for a weekend. Why don't you go ahead and tell me about some of the hunts that y'all have planned for the upcoming season?
Well, we want to try to stay in Texas, and you know, that's our wheelhouse. That's where we have the most experience, and anything you can hunt in Texas that we can outfit, broker, or buy, we'll do it. It's going to mainly be deer, feral hogs, spring turkey. Next year we'll be in full swing. We plan on doing some dove hunting. That's a real social hunt where you get to, you know, kind of let your guard down, spend some time with the families and that sort of thing. It's not as, you know, it's not as regimented as the deer hunt. But right now we've got a hunt booked in February at the Callahan Ranch, and it's for three kids, and it's going to be a doe and cull buck hunt, which could be a really nice buck coming from the Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big outfit. They've got 90,000 acres, and it's 25 miles north of Laredo, and it's just South Texas,
mm-hmm.
as good as it gets. We've got that going. We always have a feral hog hunt in Grayson County. That's a place where a few of us hunt. We can always facilitate that.
Nice. My dove lease is actually out there.
That's good country.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some exotic hunts in Jacksboro and St. Joe. Mark's father's the Montague County Sheriff, and so he has a lot of contacts out there, and we've got from black buck to doe, management buck, axis. We've got a lot of stuff lined up. I've got a lot of special hunts for kids.
Well, it sounds like you guys are taking the bull by the horns and getting revved up for this first season of taking kids suffering from cancer on these fabulous hunting trips. And whatever I can do to help, you know, my sweet wife, Erin, is a nurse at Children's Hospital downtown. So we'll get her to put some feelers out at the hospital.
Man, that would be awesome. I mean, what you're doing for us now is exactly what we need. We've spent a lot of time and energy. I've got a good board of directors behind me who work hard and are going to continue to work hard to make it happen. And what you're doing for us now is what we need. You know, we're new. We need some exposure. We're going to kick it off this season, get some kids under our belt, which will make this a lot more tangible. But we're in it to fight the good fight.
Well, I think what y'all are doing is phenomenal. You know, kids need the outdoors. They don't need to be sitting in front of an Xbox or iPhone or whatever it is they're doing these days. They need to get in the outdoors, especially kids who are suffering. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
I look forward to working with you in the future. And who knows, maybe I'll be lucky enough to tag along on one of these hunts sometime and just see the smile on one of those kids' faces. It would be something I'd never forget.
It makes my hair stand up.
There is no doubt Hey, Dyron, the website, one more time, if you don't mind.
The website is markcunninghamfoundation.org.
All righty.
And we're all under there, under contacts. You can check out the available hunts. Anybody who's got any information can get on the website there and contact us if you've got any ideas, and we're just anxious to get it going.
All right, Dyron. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Cable. I appreciate it.
Been my pleasure.
All right, buddy.
As soon as that first hunt goes down, man, send me some of those pictures because I can't wait to see them.
You'll be the first one who gets them.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Man, what a great organization that's going to be. The Mark Cunningham Foundation. Check it out at markcunninghamfoundation.org. I am really excited about what they're doing. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking about deer innards and deer guts, what's on the inside of that deer's stomach, and why you should open that stomach up and take a look. All that coming up next as we visit with Caesar Kleberg, Wildlife Research Institute. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Anyway, wildlife nutritionist Dave Hewitt joins us next, only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
They call us long-haired, tattooed, hippie freaks, and you know that ain't all wrong. You think they never saw a bad outlaw just singing a country song. But if they close their eyes and they open their ears and they let the music speak, they'd hear a good old country music and not just long-haired, tattooed freaks.
Barefoot Fishing Tours and guide Charles Whited is South Texas' premier largemouth guide service. Charles not only puts you on fish, but he also teaches adults and kiddos the techniques and strategies needed to land big bass. With two Bass Champs Angler of the Year awards and a record 44.98-pound five-fish stringer on Choke Canyon, his achievements speak for themselves. Fishing Choke Canyon, Bastrop, Browning, and Canyon Lake, call Charles at 512-557-6772. That's 512-557-6772, or visit barefootfishingtours.com. Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's beautiful Sutton County, McPherson Forum Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also a part of the experience at McPherson Forum Ranch. Call Sandy at 210-827-2915. That's 210-827-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Kenneth Henneke's Fish Hatchery has been serving Texas for over 30 years, and we carry every fish you need to stock your ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers. From all types of bass, perch, tilapia, to shad, and various catfish, we have what you need and are the only hatchery that offers the fast-growing F1 hybrid catfish. Centrally located in Hallettsville, we deliver anywhere in Texas. So give us a call at 361-798-5934. That's 361-798-5934. Or visit our website at www.hennekehatchery.com.
Listen up, ticketheads. When you harvest that wall-worthy trophy, there's only one choice: Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.
And I know a good place to find a bad man. He can get you whatever I can. And you won't mind if they bury your bones out in the mountains of Revelio. Out in the mountains of Revelio.
Mountains of Nuevo León. The name of that Paul Eason tune, bringing us back from break. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for waking up early with me. A quick reminder to keep on sending me your best outdoor photos. The summer months have been a bit sluggish, but I know things are about to pick up with hunting season about to kick off. The dove opener is this week. Oh man, I cannot wait. Shot some skeet last week, and I am ready. Get me talking about hunting, and I lose my train of thought, though. Anyway, send me your best outdoor photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Monthly winners get their photos displayed right there on my home page. You'll win a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News and are entered into our grand prize photo of the year contest, where we'll be giving away a whitetail or trophy boar hunt. So email me your best outdoor photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Well, it's now my pleasure to introduce my next guest, Dave Hewitt, deer researcher and wildlife nutrition specialist at the Caesar Kleberg Wildlife Research Institute. Dave, welcome to the show.
You're welcome. Appreciate the invitation.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I'm looking forward to talking some whitetails with you this morning. If you would, tell me a little bit about your background as a wildlife nutrition specialist and deer researcher.
I grew up in Colorado, and it was obviously a good place to develop an interest in wildlife. Had a family that was real involved in hunting and all kinds of outdoor activities. And as a result of that, Colorado State University was nearby where I grew up. So I got a bachelor's degree there, went up to Washington State, got a master's degree there working with bears, and then got my final graduate degree at Virginia Tech working with ruffed grouse. So I didn't have a lot of deer background, from my education, but a lot of nutrition was kind of the common thread through my different parts of my education. Came down to Texas in 1996 to start work with the Caesar Kleberg Institute, and as a result of my nutrition background, I got involved in working with their captive deer herd because its main value is looking at some of the different nutritional constraints that deer in South Texas have to deal with. So that got me into some deer stuff initially, and then once this chair position that Stuart Stedman has funded became available, that's where I really made the switch and started focusing heavily on deer for the last 3 or 4 years.
All right. Well, Dave, you were recently interviewed by Lone Star Outdoor News for the article titled "What's on the Inside Counts," and that's the reason why I wanted to have you on the show today to discuss the practice of opening up a harvested deer stomach, something that the majority of Texas deer hunters don't do, but probably should.
Yeah, I think there's some value in it. There's every time you get your hands on an animal, there's something you could learn about the deer in that area, and at maybe a different time of year, early in the season versus late in the season, maybe a wet year, maybe a dry year. So every time you get your hands on a deer, there's something you can learn from it, and certainly being able to look inside parts of the GI tract there's a wealth of information there that someone could tie into.
So you probably examine the stomach contents of every deer that you shoot.
Yeah. Can't help myself.
Right. There's a lot of hunters that associate the entrails and stomach of a deer with a horrible smell. A gut shot deer is not going to smell very good. But opening up just the stomach isn't all that bad, is it?
No, and having done about 20 years of nutrition research, you end up dealing with a lot of stuff that smells real bad. So I may not be a representative person in terms of commenting on the smell, because I think I ruined my sense of smell a long time ago dealing with all the stuff that we have to in nutrition research. But no, it's not that bad. And so you're outdoors, you get your deer cleaned, get the gut pile away from the carcass because you don't want to take a chance in spoiling the meat if the gut hasn't been broke open at that point. And then there's an opportunity to do something. And a lot of times it doesn't have to be real dramatic. You can do something pretty quick and dirty, so to speak, just a couple minutes, open it up and taking a stick and kind of stirring around through there and get a feel for some of the, kind of interesting and maybe primary things that deer's been eating.
Okay, and talk about the importance of opening up a deer's stomach from a management standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I see three things that at least as I've looked through them that would provide some useful information from a management standpoint. One is just some of the primary foods, and people think about, deer eating browse or forbs, and how are you going to be able to tell with just a quick look about what the difference in those are, and that's correct. A lot of times it would take a lot more effort to in a microscope and things like that maybe to tell the difference, but I think a lot of people would be surprised with just a kind of quick look through there how much other types of foods are in there that are really recognizable. And one thing that jumped out at me several years ago in doing this is how frequently chunks of cactus pad were in the stomachs of deer. And I remember one year in particular, was lucky enough to hunt on a couple of, you know, really well-managed ranches. It had been a wet fall, so the natural forage conditions were good. They had food plots, they had, protein feed. So this was, the deer had lots of options. It wasn't like they had to go out and eat cactus because that's all that was there. But most of the deer whose rumens I looked in at those, in those places had cactus pads in their rumen. So that tells me that that's something that those deer are really seeking out. It isn't a last resort. So from a management standpoint, there'd be some value in making sure there's some cactus out there. It doesn't mean, that you necessarily need lots of it, but that you give deer that opportunity or that option of eating that. Depending on when in the season deer are being harvested, it's surprising how often there may be different mast species. If you're in a place where there's oaks, and the acorn crop has been good, there's just about no doubt that all the deer rumens you'll look in will have a good component of acorns in there.
Mm-hmm.
If the rainfall patterns have been such that there's mesquite beans available, Grand Henyo berries, something that's been kind of a surprise to us in some of our research is how much the deer really relish the little fruits on Wyacon. Wyacon, everybody thinks about as a real prime browse species because it always looks real hedged and everything, and it probably is. But one thing the deer really seem to like that you wouldn't guess from just looking at a Wyacon bush is how much they really like the little berries, little red fruits that are put on. And so there's things like that I think would become much more apparent, by taking that just a few minutes to kind of look through the rumen contents.
Okay, you keep talking about this word rumen, and I'm familiar with what it is. It's a part of most herbivore's stomach, but we're not all wildlife nutritionists, so educate us on what a rumen is and its function within the deer's stomach.
Yeah, so there's a class of animals called ruminants, and these are the animals like cows and sheep and goats, and all the deer species are ruminants. And what that means is they've got a stomach that's different than a stomach that than our stomach, for example. And the reason it's different is they've got a large pouch in it in which food can go after the deer swallows it, and that food can sit in there. And the reason it sits in there is there's microbes in there that help the deer digest this plant material that they're eating. And then in addition to a rumen, there's three other components of a deer's stomach, which again makes it very different than our stomach. So they got the rumen and the reticulum, which is another pouch that sits right next to the rumen, and they kind of function together. The food can pass very easily back and forth between the reticulum and the rumen. If you open those up, they're very distinct. The rumen has a lot of what we call papilla, little like finger-like projections, just packed all over the inside of it, and those are increasing the surface area because one of the things that's going on in the rumen, as a result of all that microbes helping break down the food, is those microbes release nutrients that the deer can absorb. And mm-hmm. those little papilla, those little finger-like things, help absorb this nutrients out of the contents of the rumen. The reticulum is named because it has like a reticulated surface, almost looks like a honeycomb of a, from a bee's hive. And so those are two of the chambers. The third chamber is called an omasum, and what it does, it in part acts like a gate, and it keeps food from moving out of the rumen and reticulum to the rest of the digestive tract until the particle size has become small. So that's how the deer make sure that food sits in there long enough to be fully digested before it moves on down the rest of the digestive tract. So that's what the omasum does. And then the final part, final stomach of a deer's four-part stomach is the abomasum. And that's an acidic part of the stomach, similar to what our stomach would be. So there's acid in there and some enzymes and digestion, then the normal digestion kicks in there. If somebody's gonna wants to look in the digestive system of a deer and see what it's been eating, it's the rumen, this biggest component, biggest compartment of the stomach that they'd want to look in.
Mm-hmm.
something else that's kind of interesting about a ruminant in general, the way they eat, is they don't necessarily chew their food real well when they first take, you know, when they first bite it off. You'll see them take, you know, chew it a little bit and then swallow it. And you think, God, you know, that's not, you know, for kind of fibrous plant material, that's not a long time to be breaking it down, and you think they'd have to chew it a whole bunch. But what a ruminant will do, they'll take those bites, chew them a little bit, swallow them, so they can be eating food pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go bed down somewhere where maybe they're safer from predation, they're out of the heat or the cold, whatever the environmental conditions are, and they ruminate. So they'll bring material up out of that rumen, and if you watch them, you can actually see this if you're close. There'll be a little kind of ball that'll come up through their throat, and you'll see it, and then they'll sit there and chew, and they'll swallow. So they break the size of those bites down later on. That's a benefit for, you know, someone who wants to look in the rumen and see what kind of foods are in there, because oftentimes those first bites, and if you harvest a deer shortly after it's been foraging, they'll be, you know, whole leaves, whole acorns, big chunks of prickly pear pad, you know, whatever in there that are really recognizable. So it isn't all, you know, just green goo, guacamole stuff. There's going to be, once you start looking in there, there's big pieces of food, and that's because of the way these ruminants eat.
And so that's where the term chewing your cud originated.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's they're chewing their cud and making the size of those particles of food smaller and smaller so that eventually they can pass out of the rumen.
Very interesting stuff there from a biological standpoint, you know, with the whole four-part stomach.
Yeah.
And also looking in there can tell you if they're using your food plots, so that's another good management tool.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it might be one thing that would be really valuable from a management standpoint is to know how far deer are coming from a food plot. You know, and so if you're harvesting deer at different distances from a known food source, like a food plot, and you can recognize the material in the rumen that would only be found in that food plot, then you can tell, you know, how far deer are traveling to get access to that food.
Or how far they're coming from a neighbor's food plot.
Exactly, yeah.
And examining the stomach contents seems like it would be beneficial for any hunter, but specifically, I have to believe it would be extremely helpful for, say, a bow hunter looking for a specific place to hang a tree stand.
Yeah, you know, so if you're hunting over corn, obviously you open the rumen and you're going to see corn in there because you know, that's what the deer had been foraging on, you know, shortly before it was harvested. But so yeah, there certainly are some benefits of that. But I think even, you know, somebody who's hunting over bait or near a feeder or something like that, they would be surprised with what else is in the stomach of that deer in addition to, you know, to the known food sources, the bait or pellets or whatever.
Right.
Deer that have access to supplemental feed may be eating half or, you know, 3 or 2/3 maybe of their diet, maybe the supplemental feed, sometimes less than that. And then the remainder of it, they're still going out and looking for, you know, some of the forages in their native environment to make up the difference. I think they're a lot like us. You know, they get sick and tired of eating potatoes every day or whatever. You know, some variety in their diet is pretty important to them. The deer eat a lot of things that we just might not necessarily be aware of or think of as deer food.
Okay, so obviously it can help you pattern the deer, and you know, you can find out where they're feeding and how far they're coming to and from that feeding area. But what about looking for parasites in there and using that as a tool to help you determine the overall health of your herd?
Yeah, so there's, you know, one way to know kind of what type of condition a deer is in is mainly from its fat reserves. And you don't have to open up the inside of the digestive tract to see that, but just as you're gutting a deer, you know, if a deer's in really good shape, it'll have a lot of fat deposited around the rumen and the intestines and, you know, the different organs, the kidney and things like that. So that's really valuable, I think, to just pay attention to. And you know, if you're in a situation where you're gutting deer and, gosh, it, you know, it's before the rut and you're not seeing much fat on them, then that means, you know, that those deer really weren't able to meet their needs, because a deer before the rut, bucks in particular, you know, should have a lot of fat, and even does would be expected to, unless they had, you know, had raised twins and had put a lot of their extra fat into raising those twins into the milk. So that would be one way that you could gauge the condition. And another thing that can be valuable, and folks in the southeastern U.S. do this quite a bit, is look in that fourth part of the stomach, that abomasum. and it's going to have kind of a smooth inside. It may look real shiny, and the food in there isn't going to be as green and have the big particles in it. It's going to be more kind of a mush. But there's some parasites that most deer, probably all deer, have called stomach worms that are going to be in the abel mesum. But the infection rate, or the number of worms in a deer's stomach, is going to be influenced a lot by the deer's nutritional condition and the density of deer in the area. So there's been research projects that show pretty good relationship between the density of deer and the number of these abomasal parasites, these mm-hmm. worms in the abomasum. Those worms will be half inch to an inch long and thin. They're, so if a deer doesn't have a lot of those, you might not even notice them. But if you opened up an abomasum and saw several hundred worms, for example, that there's something going on. That deer wasn't healthy and was real susceptible to those abomasal parasites for some reason. And if a fair number of your deer have relatively high infection rates, then something's going on. That one thing might be that you have a higher density of deer than would be appropriate for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got some other survey or camera data or something like that, these abomasal parasites might be one more piece of evidence or data that a manager could use to assess the density of deer in their place.
And possibly result in some more MLD hunts.
Yeah, and a doe hunt in that particular situation is what you'd want to do is try to knock the population back a bit. I'll bet people would be surprised with what they would find in ruminants, once they really started looking, that the deer are eating a lot of things that we just might not necessarily be aware of or think of as deer food.
Well, Dave, I appreciate your time this morning. It's been very informative and interesting. The key is education and having a desire to learn as much as possible about an animal that you're hunting or managing, for that matter.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your interest and enjoy being able to share these ideas with your listeners.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you again somewhere down the line.
You bet. Take care.
Have a good one.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Fascinating stuff, to say the least, and I guarantee you that I'll be examining the stomach contents of every deer I shoot this year. That segment was proudly brought to you by our newest sponsor, Diamond Sports Marine, with locations in Rockwall and Lake Fork, specializing in Ranger and War Eagle boats. Check them out at diamondsportsmarine.com. Well, we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have on an expert to talk about Lake Texoma and why it's regarded as the world's premier striped bass fishery. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. So if you're feeling down and out, well, come on, baby, drive south.
From gun dog training to obedience and deer tracking programs, Rave Retrievers has it all. Boarding, training, and group and private lessons, morning or evening, will accommodate you and your dog. Owner Deborah Lee has 30 years experience in gun dog and obedience training and has recently added Amanda Burrell to the training staff to offer even more intensive training capabilities. With numerous ponds, creeks, boats, and duck blinds, we offer the most realistic training available. Go to www.raveretrievers.com for all your dog training and boarding needs. That's www.raveretrievers.com.
A place to shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring 5 different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes. Located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio, call 210-628-1888. A place to shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Signs Diet Premium dog food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Summer's in full swing, and that means dove season is right around the corner, and the beautiful Record Buck Ranch is your ticket to an awesome day of wing shooting. With over 23,000 acres stretching from Hondo to Uvalde, we book both Central and South Zone dove hunts. Day hunts are only $80 per hunter, while the exclusive two-day lodge package is a steal at $825. Call Jim at 830-279-8733 or Heath at 830-261-1802. You can also check us out at recordbuck.com. At $80 a piece, the day hunts are going fast, so give us a call and book your Texas dove hunt today.
With over $250,000 in prize money, the Southern National Archery Festival is taking the outdoor industry by storm. Taking place September 2nd through 5th at the Travis County Expo Center in Austin, it's 4 full days of competition, entertainment, and shooting. Bring the whole family as kids 16 and under register and shoot for free. Featuring guest appearances by bone collectors Travis, T-Bone Turner, and Nick Munt. Music from Asleep at the Wheel and Earl Campbell's free tailgate party. You don't want to miss the Super Bowl of archery. Visit SouthernNationalArcheryFestival.com today.
Hey, this is Kevin Van Dam, and you're listening to the Lone Star. The Lone.
No one ever gets it on the first try.
The Lone Star Outdoor Show, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, this is Kevin Van Dam, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Awesome.
Fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
All right, that's Fort Worth's own Roger Miller, the great Roger Miller, bringing us back from break this morning. I'm Cable Smith, and I appreciate you kicking off your weekend with me. A reminder that if you ever miss a show or an interview that you wanted to check out, you can always visit my website at www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com. And every show is saved right there for you as a user-friendly podcast. This segment is proudly brought to you by Spittin' Fire Jigs. I never go to the lake without them, people. They are Texas' premier bass jig manufacturer. Check them out at spittinfirejigs.com. Spittin' Fire Jigs, feel the fire. Well, what do y'all say that we talk a little striper fishing? And we'll do so with an expert on the subject, my buddy Captain John Brett of Lake Texoma Striper Guide Service. John's been chasing striper for over 40 years now. John, thanks for joining the show this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Pleasure to have you on the show.
Pleasure to be on.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk about catching stripers this morning, but there's a lot of history behind the striped bass, and a lot of people may not realize that originally this is a saltwater species we're talking about that traditionally only migrated into freshwater to spawn.
Yeah, that's true. Years ago, they were really a landlocked fish, and when the oceans washed out the rivers, they went out to sea, and then they always come back to freshwater to spawn.
Ah, one of those deals that just kind of goes full circle, you know? Now, John, you're actually from the Northeast, correct?
Yes, from Connecticut.
And striper are actually a very popular saltwater sport fish along the Atlantic coast, and I know you've caught your share of big ones.
Yeah, the biggest is 67 pounds, so that's a good one.
67-pound striped bass, that is absolutely amazing. But let's table that for a minute. I want to come back to that story. Striper are not really native to Texas. As we mentioned, they're an Atlantic coast fish that's been successfully stocked in freshwater reservoirs all over the country, and Texas for that matter. But Lake Texoma is widely considered to be the finest striper fishery in the world. It's also only one of a handful of landlocked bodies of water where striped bass actually reproduce on their own.
True. It's probably the best fishery in the country for striped bass.
And so I guess that was an easy decision for you to just pack up from the New England area and head down to Texas for the plentiful waters of Lake Texoma, huh?
Well, it's just the numbers of fish and the quality of the fish and the quality of the fishing. And it's all year round. You fish 12 months a year here. And the spawn is just phenomenal. There's so many fish out there.
And John, what is it about Lake Texoma that allows striped bass to reproduce naturally? You know, all of the reservoirs in Texas and all but I think four other freshwater bodies of water are restocked with striped bass on an annual basis, but not Lake Texoma.
We have two rivers that go 64, 70 miles upstream. You got the Red River and you got the Washita River. And the stripers will have to run upstream to spawn. Their eggs have to float about 2 miles before they hatch downstream. So you got the two big rivers that is unlike any other reservoir.
Okay.
They go up and they spawn and the eggs float down and they hatch just about now. We're catching little tiny 1-inch stripers right now in the net.
Now, the Lake Texoma record striper was actually caught in 2004 and weighed over 35 pounds.
Yep.
Do you think there's a 40-pounder swimming around out there somewhere?
Oh, I think so. They're just harder to catch because they're more loners, and you have to really concentrate on it. It's really tough to do. The smaller fish, you know, 20 pounds and less, are so aggressive. The bigger fish just hide and feed when they want to feed and probably feed at night away from the little fish. With little fish 20 pounds and under.
Well, it's just like hunting that trophy buck, you know?
Yeah, he's going to be a loner.
I guess they get big for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. They're smarter.
No doubt about that. Well, John, let's talk about that 67-pound striper that you caught. You know, that's only 11 pounds off the world record, and I can't even imagine. I've never seen a striper half that big. We'll talk about that experience. I know it was a saltwater fish.
Oh, that was same way as fishing Texoma. We were fishing live bait in a place called the Sluiceway off New York. And the fish just batted the bait out of the water about 3 feet, and when it hit the water, he just took it and went. And saltwater stripers are probably a bit stronger than freshwater because they're always fighting the tides. They're feeding in the tides. They're feeding on ripwater. But it took a good 20, 25 minutes to get into the boat.
Wow. And what'd you catch that on?
It's called Menhaden Bunker. It's an extremely large shad, about 7 inches long.
Oh, so very similar to the threadfin shad that these fish feed on in Lake Texoma?
Threadfin shad, and right now gizzard shad, because we had a big kill this winter of threadfin, because all the coves froze over and killed the threadfin shad.
Right.
So they're feeding right now on gizzard shad, and that's what we're using to catch them. Oklahoma and Texas did stock some shred fins, but we won't even see those till next year.
And so I guess that's just kind of cyclical, you know. A really harsh winter will kill off a lot of those shad.
Yeah, it's really unusual. Texoma, we had three freezes here this year, and that hasn't happened for the last 8 years.
I was actually out there scouting for ducks during one of those freezes, and we were busting ice with the boat.
Yeah, it was funny. I went back in one of the coves, and there's a whole pile of seagulls on top of the ice trying to peck their way through to get the frozen shad.
Now that's pretty funny. Probably not so much for you though, trying to catch fish.
That's right.
So John, I know that you're still catching fish in September, you know, but it's not considered the greatest month. When is the best month of the year for me to come book a trip with you? I mean, when is that bite just insane?
The best times are May, June, and July, because that's post-spawn fish. There's a lot of big fish and they're really hungry. And then as the water starts to cool in September, October, November, December, excellent months for fishing.
Very nice.
Because the water is getting cooler, they're getting hungrier, and they're going to be spawning in March and April. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start feeding again.
Okay. And you mentioned that right now y'all are using gizzard shad for bait. But what about when you go the artificial route? You know, what do you have the most success on when using artificial baits?
Well, you're starting in October. Well, right now the topwater bite is still on early in the morning, so you're using topwater chuggers and stuff right next close to the shoreline. Come late September, October, November, you're using slabs, which is a long, thin piece of metal with a hook on the bottom. You just you either jig them up or down, or you just lower them all the way to the bottom and get up to the top as fast as you can, just reel as fast as you can, and they'll hit either going down or coming up. And during the winter, when you get into late November, December, you're using what we call sassy shads or wild eyes and slow retrieve. Mm-hmm. And they work very well, so you don't have to use bait October, November, December.
Well, John, striper fishing is obviously very different from, say, bass fishing or crappie fishing or other, you know, pursuing other freshwater species. So how do you locate big schools of striper?
You have to almost be out there every day. Stripers move all the time. They're not. You're not going to find them. You'll find them in the same places a week at a time, but they're always moving through. So they'll hit a place and go through, hit a place and go through. So you can pick up patterns on where they're going to be, but they're not unlike a largemouth bass or a smallmouth bass where you're going to find them around trees and stumps the same place all the time. Stripers are always moving the main lake, the rivers, the flats. They're always looking for bait. They're always hungry. They're always on the move. The only way to really keep track of them is to be out there almost every day to see what they're doing and where they are.
Okay.
And a lot has to do with water temperature, and the lake's just starting to turn over now, so they're shallower now, which is why they're a little bit harder to catch. They're about 50 feet deep. In May and June, they're 40 foot deep.
Mm-hmm. And so at what depth are you locating most of your fish right now?
Right now, it's about anywhere from 5 to 15 feet. And they'll be in 30 to 32 foot of water. When you get into the springtime, May, June, and July, they're probably in 70 foot of water and they're 40 foot down.
Wow. You've got it down to a science, my friend.
It's the water temperature and it's the oxygen content. Right now, the lake is turning over, so the bottom's coming to the top. And they're shallower because that's where the oxygen will be.
So since September isn't the ideal month for striper fishing, are you making plans for the dove opener?
No. I'll be out there striper fishing. Still catch them in September. You just don't catch the numbers you would on the other months.
Okay.
But you'll still get your limit in September. Holy. It just takes a little bit longer.
Well, then when are we going?
Let's go next week if you want.
Well, I am down for whenever, my friend. I really appreciate your time this morning. You know, I find it very interesting that Lake Texoma has such a healthy population of naturally reproducing striped bass. You know, I think it's actually one of only maybe four or five landlocked bodies of water in the country where these fish reproduce naturally. And it's very cool that Lake Texoma is the best of the best, and it's right here in Texas.
That's true, and it is the best population of striped bass of all the five. The more numbers and more fish and bigger fish than any of the lakes. Plus, the thing we forget, they're really good to eat.
Yeah, so good, in fact, that former President Bush, when he was in office, made them a protected game fish to where they are no longer commercially fished.
In Texas, yeah.
Which is great for all of us recreational guys out there, you know, because it means there's more fish for us.
Exactly. And they're strong and they're good fish to catch.
Well, John, it's been very fun and educational talking with you this morning. I knew that Texoma was the best of the best, and now I know why, so thanks for talking striped bass with us this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Cable.
It's been a real pleasure.
I enjoyed being on with you.
Y'all be sure to check out John's website at texomastriperfishing.com to go ahead and book your trip. John, I look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend.
Okay. Be good.
We'll do it. Well, there you have it. The mystery behind the phenomenal striper fishing on Lake Texoma has been solved. Plentiful bait fish and two rivers connecting to the lake have resulted in a wonderful fishery, and I'm proud that it's right here in Texas. Man, I love this place, and I sure as heck wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Well, we're about out of time this morning, thanks to our guest, Dyron Bynum of the Mark Cunningham Foundation, deer researcher Dave Hewitt, and of course, striper guide John Brett. Next week, we'll visit with a wounded veteran dedicated to taking soldiers hunting. We'll also talk with the good folks over at Hunters for the Hungry. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I hope everyone in the North and Central Zones has a great dove opener this week. We'll let Jason Boland take us on home. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Get tied down by the ties that bind. Seem like I'm never gonna find the time to do what I need. And that's to find me a place where I can think, talk about love and laugh and drink. And
there's someone there who cares. Cause no matter how big the storms, I know I can find me a place that's warm. The sun is shining somewhere in Texas. I hope it's shining on her.